Hello, and thank you so much for taking a leap and joining this session. Now, one of the best ways to open the mind, to take in new ideas, new information, find creative solutions, creativity, all that stuff that gets us into the flow where we're actually happy and joyful. Well, what it needs for us to do that, or what we need for us to be able to be in that state, is to calm down. Easier said than done, of course, which is why I'm sharing this technique with you. So this is something I've been practicing probably for close to 10 years now. And of all of the things I do to not just protect and support my mental health, but to support my overall resilience, self-regulation, and creativity is what I'm going to share with you here. And the reason why I love it is because there's so much evidence to support this. I didn't invent it. I didn't invent the technique I'm going to share with you. What I want to do today, and in the short time we have together, is share with you a little bit of the background and really give you a foundation for understanding how, through the way we feel within our body, we can affect the way our brain works and vice versa. So let's dive in. I want you to grab a paper and a pen. I'm looking around as if I'm going to have one. Any pen will do, any small piece of paper will do. And what I want you to do first is write down your answer to this question. What emotion do you experience most often that is the greatest draw on your mental, emotional, or physical energy? Okay, write that down on your paper. And the next question I want you to answer is this. On a day-to-day basis, how would you score this emotion from 0 to 10? 0 being nothing at all, 10 being basically debilitating. So put that number next to that emotion. And then my last question before we dive in, what would life be like for you without or less of this emotion? Think about that one for a moment. What word comes to mind to describe what life would be like without that emotion? And I want you to write that word down. All right, now set all that aside, and we're going to dive in. Raise your hand if you know that the brain sends signals to your heart and the rest of your body that can impact how they function. And I know you're probably sitting at home watching this alone, but I want you to raise your hand if you know this. All right, so the act of raising your hand basically shows to you that your brain sends signals to your body and then your body reacts or does something. Your brain said, raise your hand, and then your hand went up. You do this by nodding your head, shaking your head, some indication that your brain is sending a signal and it's causing a reaction in the body. So we know that the brain sends signals to the body, but very few of us consider the types of signals that our body sends to the brain. In fact, our heart specifically, that little bit of love right in our center, sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. What does this mean? That is what we're going to get into. So if we think about the different nervous system pathways, and I don't want to go too deep into this because it's not really critical for what we're going to achieve today, but there's a growing body of research that shows that afferent information presented by the heart-brain connection can influence activity in the frontocortical areas and motor cortex in the brain. What does this mean? Well, we have the efferent pathways, which is where the brain sends the signals for action to the muscles. And we have the afferent pathways where the receptors in the skin and the body, the digestive tract and the heart sends signals to the brain. All right. And what we're seeing is that those afferent pathways have major impact on how the brain functions, specific parts of the brain. And all we need to know so far is that these signals run both ways and both are important. And we're going to learn how both are actually within our ability to manage or control or respond to more effectively. Now, the functioning in that front part of the brain is really critical because it affects our ability to reason, to respond. It affects our attention level, our focus levels, our motivation, our creative and critical thinking, decision making, problem solving, all of these things that many of us struggle with when we're experiencing stress and overwhelm. You know that feeling, and I get this all the time, where I'm just too overwhelmed to make a decision? That's how it affects me in a big way, and I know it. I feel it. Let me just put my glasses on. What I want to talk about and what we're going to learn here is how, by regulating our heart rhythm, we could positively impact how the brain functions. And what's incredible is that this is so simple to do. I want to clarify one quick thing before we dive in. So we know that we have a heart rate, and the heart rate is the measure of the number of beats per minute. But what we also have is something called heart rate variability, or HRV. And this score is becoming a little bit trendy as a measure of health or readiness, a measure of performance. The rhythm or space between our heartbeats is what we call that heart rate variability. All right, so keep that in your back pocket, that little nugget of knowledge. So our heart rate variability can function, or our heart rhythm patterns can function in two different ways. We can have an incoherent pattern, or we can have a coherent pattern. And you can see on the side that an incoherent pattern impairs our performance, whereas a coherent pattern promotes this optimal performance. So let's have a look at what these patterns look like. Here we have an incoherent pattern. It's irregular and it's erratic. And then we have a coherent pattern, which is a little bit higher, a little bit smoother, right? So which do you think sends signals of calm and equanimity to the brain? Sort of a redundant question, but you know, it's good to think about this. Now here's the clincher. The incoherent pattern sends signals of frustration, anxiety, worry, irritation, overwhelm, all those states that draw energy from us, and coherent patterns are those of positive emotions, appreciation, love, care, peacefulness. Okay? So where do we want to be most of the time? We want to be coherent. And where are we actually most of the time? I think you know. When we have those signals going to the brain, they're also creating emotions. And those incoherent emotions are things like stress, overwhelm, anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. I'm asking you now, at the top of all of this, when we first got started and I asked that question about that dominant emotion that draws energy from you, did you write down any of these? Did you write down stress or overwhelm, anxiety, uncertainty, fear, or a variation of them? I'm guessing you probably did. When we experience these emotions long enough, we start to go numb, which means we're not able to tap into that creative, high-functioning, high-intuitive part of our brain where we get into the flow, where we actually experience fulfillment and joy. So it's not working in our favor. How these stressful emotions affect the brain are as follows. We often result in a stress-filled response. It reduces our ability to respond productively. We end up being highly reactive and less able to find solutions. And so we want to start to focus on getting into a coherent state. How do we do that? Well, we want to focus on the heart-centered emotions that lead to coherence. What's really special about this is that as we tap into those heart-centered emotions and we get into a coherent state, we actually also start feeling more of those heart-centered emotions. It's this beautiful cyclical pattern. And what are those heart-centered emotions? Well, it's love, care, hope, appreciation, compassion, connection, and gratitude, right? We know this. We know that when we feel cared for, we feel more calm and at ease. We know that when we can openly express love to ourselves, to someone else, we feel more peaceful. We feel more effortless. Life feels more effortless. When we can tap into those heart-centered emotions, the result is that we have greater psychophysiological coherence. Basically, we're experiencing harmony in the brain and the body. It's fully systemic, and that is powerful. We have these domains of resilience. So there's four main domains we can think of. There's physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental. And so when we create harmony in all of these realms, we go into this state of coherence. Now, what's really special is that we can bring ourselves into a state of coherence that creates harmony in all of these domains of resilience. And ultimately, overall, we end up with elevated resilience. That's what we want. That's how we can thrive under stressful conditions, where something that seems like it's not such a big deal doesn't become such a big deal because we have that resilience. When we're already in a state of fear and worry and anxiety and overwhelm, the littlest thing can be that tipping point for us. Being in a state of coherence results in improved cognitive ability, efficient and harmonious functioning of cardiovascular, nervous system, hormonal, and immune systems, greater objectivity, stronger intuitive perception, greater memory, more effortless ability to focus, and better decision-making. Raise your hand if you want a little more of that in your life, right? But here's what's so incredible. All of this also contributes to more effective self-regulation. And if we can have more effective self-regulation, life becomes dramatically easier to live because we're not constantly being switched into the state of fear and anxiety and stress. Self-regulation enables us to meet everyday challenges and stresses with resilience, enabling us to make more intelligent decisions, use that innate higher order wisdom rather than be in a fight or flight reactionary mode all the time. You want more of that? Me too. Here's a really interesting study I want to share with you. In a study of 5,716, to be exact, middle-aged people, those with the highest self-regulation abilities were over 50 times more likely to be alive and without chronic disease 15 years later than those with lower self-regulation scores. Consider the significance of this. Imagine if I had a pill for you. Let's call this tube of lipstick the pill, and I'm going to give you this. And I want you to take this every day. And if you take this every single day, you're going to have 15 extra years where you feel vital, alive, joyful, living with less or no chronic degeneration in the body. That's pretty ridiculously powerful, right? And here's what's really cool about it. You don't need to take that pill every day. You don't need something from outside yourself. The solution to getting to that self-regulation is right here. It's with us all the time. Before I share this technique with you, I want to dive into a little bit of the research because I think this will help you to understand that this goes beyond me just telling you this. I want you to see how powerful it can be. The foundation for the first study is just to know that secretory IgA is the immune system's first line of defense. Basically, when the body perceives something as foreign, it alerts the immune system, and this IgA is the first thing out of the gate to help defend and protect the body. In this first study I want to share, the researchers were looking at the effect of coherence and incoherence in the forms of compassion and anger on the levels of IgA in the body, as well as the heart rate and mood. They used two methods for inducing the emotional states. There was self-induction, which was thinking about something that was stressful or loving, and also watching a video. So there was the internal and then the external way of stimulating the mood. What they found was that anger produced a significant increase in total mood disturbance and heart rate, but not in the secretory IgA levels. Examining the effects over a 6-hour period, it was shown that anger, which you can see in the top graph, in contrast to care, produced a suppression of IgA from 1 to 5 hours after the emotional experience. What you have to keep in mind here was that this wasn't even experiencing an event that made someone angry or frustrated or feel stressed. It was just thinking about an event that was angering or stressful, okay? Now, in contrast, looking at the emotion of care, which is in the bottom graph, the emotion of care and compassion produced a significant increase in that secretory IgA, the body's first line of defense. What's really interesting about this is that looking at these results further, what they found was that self-inducing these emotions was more powerful and had more impact than watching them back on video. So what this tells us is that within our own capacity, within our own mind, and regulating that heart rhythm, we can impact how the immune system functions. So stress, fear, anxiety is going to shut down the functioning. And I think we've all experienced this where after a stressful experience, we end up with a cold or a flu right after, right? So what if just by embodying love and care, we could support our immune system well-being? That's pretty powerful, especially right now. Now, the next study I want to share looks at the collective coherence and how our state of coherence can affect those around us. In this study, 4 people were gathered around a table. 3 of them were trained in a coherence method called the heart lock-in technique, and 1 was not. And what they found was that when 3 people around the table went into a coherent state, it actually made that 4th person move into a more coherent state as well, even though they weren't practicing. What's really interesting about this is that it shows that if you are practicing coherence and getting yourself into this coherent state, it can affect how those around you feel and function. So I like to practice this when my son, who's 4, is like on the verge of having a full-on meltdown. And if I can center myself and move into a coherent state, it's less likely that we're going to have a full-on blow-up, that we can actually kind of bring everyone down, calm everyone down, and proceed in a more responsive way. And I know that when my defenses are low and I am feeling more anxious or tired or overwhelmed and I'm more apt to respond in a reactive way, it generally just explodes. The second part of the study, which is also really interesting, is that when four people practice coherence together, the results were greater than the sum of their parts. Overall, there was more coherence achieved. And this is also really interesting because it shows that the more people practicing coherence, the higher the elevation level of all of us. And that's why I love these sessions. I've been doing them live and the recording as well. You know that with more people practicing together, there's a greater global impact, with more people feeling calm, loving, appreciative, caring. That's really powerful. All right, so let's practice this together. What I want you to do is just maybe you want to bring your shoulders really high up and then just shrug them down, okay? Find a comfortable place to sit. It might be in wherever you are right now. You might want to lie down, but don't lie down if you think you'll fall asleep, because that's not what we're doing. Though that has its own benefits, that's not the intention right now. What I want you to do is just slowly tune into your breath. And where possible, I want you to inhale and exhale through your nose if you can, because there's that slight resistance and pressure that automatically helps us to slow our breathing. So bring that breath in through the nose at a count of five, and I'm going to count you in with this. One, two, three, four, five, and then just exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Inhale. One, two, three, four, five. And then exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Keep that breathing pattern going. There's nothing to see here, so you can close your eyes and just keep focusing on that slow regulation of your breathing. Now I want you to focus that breath and envision through your mind's eye, breathing in through your heart center and exhaling out through your heart center. So we're now moving into a heart-focused breathing. Into the heart and out through your heart. In and out through your heart. And even just with that, even just us doing this about a minute long, you're probably already feeling a little more grounded in and a little calmer. I want you to keep that breathing slowly in through the heart and out through the heart as you start to embody the heart-centered emotions of love, care, and compassion. Feel that for yourself, unconditional love for the human that you are here today, appreciating who you are at your core, the truest version of yourself. As you continue that breathing in through your heart and out through your heart, I find it helpful to turn up the corners of my mouth into a smile, because that also sends signals to the brain. You might experience a warmth. If you're a visual person, you could envision a warm embrace, the comfort and safety knowing that you're okay, that everything is okay. You are cared for, you are appreciated, and you are unconditionally loved. As you continue letting that breath flow in through your heart and out through your heart, and now we'll take it a step further, and I want you to envision someone you know, someone you love, or perhaps you envision a community, a group you work with, a group you live in the same building or street with, or maybe it's the entire human population. What I want you to do is, as you embody that love and care, start to radiate that outwards with that person in your mind's eye. Maybe it's your neighborhood, a community that may need some extra love. and start to extend unconditional love and care and appreciation outward to those people you're thinking of. Remember keeping that breath flowing in through your heart and out through your heart center with unconditional love and care. Again, remembering you might turn the corners of your mouth up into a smile. Smile coming from the heart. I often think of the Care Bears giving the Care Bear stare, their bellies radiating these beams of love. Continuing that slow breathing in and out through your heart, embodying and radiating a deep care and love and appreciation and compassion. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes, come back into this video, come back to me. And I want you to take a moment and just think about what is the dominant feeling right now? What do you feel right now? And I want you to write that down. And so my question to you is this: is the emotion you just wrote down close to or related to that emotion you talked about earlier when you thought about life without that dominant stress or fear or anxiety? Are they similar words? Were you able to, in just 5 minutes, move into a place that feels more peaceful, more at ease, more effortless, lighter, more joyful, more connected to yourself? That's really powerful, because not only did we just do that in a very short recorded practice that you can watch back again and again and again, but you also have now tapped into a different part of your brain where you're now more open to new information, more critical and creative thinking, more responsiveness, more self-regulation, which extends our lives with less chronic disease. All like that, with a zero-cost tool that you can tap into at any moment, at any part of the day. You don't have to be lying down to do this. You don't have your eyes closed to do this. You can do this while you're walking your kids to school. You can do this while you're preparing dinner. You could do this while sitting at work. I highly recommend doing it before a meeting, before interacting with other people, before sitting down to dinner. And I actually have integrated these 30-second practices into my life where I'm stopped at a red light on my bicycle and there's maybe a family beside me in the car or someone waiting to cross the street. And I envision myself as the Care Bear giving the Care Bear stare, and I just take a moment and radiate that outwards. And this is the first key to becoming this contagion of positivity. It's how we become magnetic humans, and we can draw people in and then impact how they feel in incredibly powerful and positive ways. Because if we can start to transform and transition, not just how we function, how our brains function and our bodies function, creating these states of inner harmony, but we can now impact how others feel without them needing to do anything. And just by doing that, they begin tapping into their creative thinking, their critical thinking, their responsiveness, their self-regulation. So imagine if we had 5% of the population doing this, 10%. And if you're in a household with just 2 people, 50%. If you're with 4 people, 25%. You can shift how people function in profoundly incredible ways. But of course it starts with you. And yes, this tool is great when you're experiencing stress. It's even better when you're not. It's even better to practice when it's just your way of practicing so that you can integrate it and start using it in powerful ways in everyday life. So that when you do experience a stressful situation, you're not being like, okay, I have to remember to practice this technique. I have to practice to go back and do this. It's just a given. It's just, oh, right, okay, this is tough right now. I'm gonna tune in and I'm gonna give this a moment, recenter myself, refocus, turn on that front part of my brain and be able to find progressive, productive, positive solutions to whatever I might be faced with. That's pretty powerful in a 5-minute, free tool that you just got. You have this now in your back pocket. Now, I didn't invent this, as I said. It's called the Heart Lock-In Technique. That's what I went through with you, and it's developed by the HeartMath Institute. And just as a summary, and you can screen grab this if you want to focus your attention on the area of your heart. You then activate and sustain a regenerative feeling such as appreciation, care, or compassion. And then you want to radiate this renewing feeling to yourself and to others. It's all there is to it. Now, before we go, I want to share a few little graphs with you that I think are pretty interesting, pretty cool. The first is this one, which is shows the heart rhythm entrainment between a husband and wife during sleep. And you can see that they're not actively practicing coherence. They're not actively doing anything, but just being together, you can see how their rhythms go in sync with each other. Okay. And remember what I said about earlier, that study where three people were practicing and one wasn't, and those three practitioners affected the coherence of that fourth person? That's why it's so important that you start practicing this. Maybe eventually you teach it to someone else. Here's a graph showing the heart entrainment, the heart rhythm synchronization between a mother and her baby. And you can see there's that little blip. They almost join together. And this third one is showing two people practicing the heart lock-in technique together. This is why I love offering this as a live session, because there's power in people doing it together where we can synchronize with each other and then amplify our benefit. It's a lot easier to be calm when you're around another calm person, right? That's kind of how this is working. And this one is my favorite. And this is about Josh and his dog, Mabel. And Mabel is at the top, Josh is at the bottom. And you can see at the first part of the graph, they're in separate rooms. And then they come into a room together, and you can see how they go into synchronization together, where Josh is snuggling Mabel and Mabel's snuggling Josh. And then Josh leaves the room, and Mabel doesn't want him to. In Mabel's heart, he's still saying, or she's still saying, come back, dog. I mean, come back, Josh, come back. I want you to be there. And so you can see that there becomes this erratic heart rhythm for Josh. And you can experience this if you are a parent or you care for a little one, and you leave and the little one doesn't want you to leave, and they're crying and they're unhappy, how that makes you feel in your heart. It creates a sense of anxiety. It's why it's so hard for any parent to hear their child cry. It creates that incoherence. So the last thing I want to share with you is this, and it is that I'm not just talking about heart rhythm, though that's an easier one to measure, but getting into that inner harmony gives us inner harmony in our respiration rates, in our heart rate variability, which we've talked about, that HRV, and also in our blood pressure rhythm. So all of this is really powerful for creating that inner harmony, for if we think back on those domains of resilience, tapping into all of them. It's a really powerful and really simple technique. I hope you enjoyed this session. It's a bit of a taste of a bigger program that I'm offering. There's a button below. I would love for you to check this out, and maybe it's the right thing for you. This is how we are going to take our operating system to a whole new level, elevate that set point, and we can become powerful, magnetic leaders in an incredibly positive way, a positive, productive way where everyone rises together. I'd love for you to click that button below, check out this new program, and perhaps complete an application and see if it is the right fit for you right now. We're curating it as a bit of a mastermind. We're only allowing 111 people to join, so we'll see how it goes. Maybe I will see you there. Thank you again for joining, and please feel free to share this with everyone you know, share the technique, teach the technique when you feel comfortable, watch us back over and over so that you can gain a confidence in sharing it, in the language, and in practicing it. Once again, click that link below as your next step, and I'll see you on the other side. Bye, everybody. Bye.